I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In heaven, there are movements. Men that connect with the third heavens are supposed to sustain a posture upon the face of the head that reflects the movement in the heavens. When that happens, an alignment, a bridge, a gangway is created. The power that is resident in the heavens can find expression in the earth realm. That's the only thing that can challenge the seats of wickedness and the territories of darkness that seek to engulf our land. Men need to understand how the power that lies in the depth of heaven can be released upon the face of the earth. I believe that during the course of this meeting, God will ignite several things upon the lives of His people. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank You. We give You praise for this privilege to say Your name in the congregation of the righteous. We thank You because You have accorded unto us the ability to draw breath at this point and at this day. And on the strength of that privilege, we choose to give You praise. We choose to give You glory. We choose to exalt Your name. As we sit at Your feet, we ask, O God, that You will grant that sacred pearls of endowments and deposits will be released upon our lives to equip us for the kingdom journey that lies ahead of us. And let the least among us become as strong as David in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You are welcome into the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'd like us to do something quickly as we lay foundation for the journey that we'll be embarking upon. Amen. I need to announce to us, hallelujah. I need to announce to us that we'll be going very far as we proceed in the conference. We'll be going very far. And just in case you are not really attentive, you are not sharp in the spirit, you may not know why we are gathered at some point. So I pray that God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I came with two people, actually. Pastor Shala is so humble, he's hiding somewhere. I can't even find him. Pastor Shala. Where is Pastor Shala? Okay. So he's at the back there. He's at the back there. Hallelujah. He's a humble man. I came with him and I came with our brother here. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 3 as we begin to take a journey. And I believe that it's a pivotal journey at this point in time that God will have us take. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says something. It says, "Thy will be done on earth." How? As it is done in the heavens. Now, a man that does not know how the will of God is done in the heavens may not know how to establish the same in the earth. Ah, my friend is here. You are welcome. If you don't understand how the will of God is established in the heavens, how the government of God is dispatched, how His administration is sustained, how God does His things, you may not know how it will be implemented upon the face of the earth. For instance, amen? I'm trying to capture your attention. A lot of you are still distracted. A lot of you traveled to come. And so you are still weary about your journey. You don't know you have already arrived. So I'm giving you the opportunity to recoil so that we can gain ascendancy together. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't understand the administration that surrounds the throne of God, you may not know how to implement His kingdom upon the face of the earth. If you do not understand the structure of the kingdom of God, you may not know how to develop such a structure in your own life in order for you to mirror the dimensions of God from the heavens. Are you with me? If a generation is going to change, a man of sufficient stature will have to rise. Such a man must understand the dynamics of spiritual things and the protocol that governs their expression and manifestation. Such a man must understand the vibrations of heaven, and he must be equipped with the ability of moving from his own sound to synchronizing with heaven's sound. He must know how to move from his own prayer and synchronize with heaven's prayer. You see, at that point of alignment where we are actually resonating on the frequency that heaven is producing or manufacturing its resources, when we align with that frequency, we have actually bridged the gap between heaven and earth. And God has liberty through our yieldedness to be expressed upon the face of the earth in such a way that even them that are in custody of the powers of darkness will acknowledge the might of our God. Amen. Now, so we want to go to understand the protocol and the structure of the heavens and how, through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we can implement the same upon the face of the earth. Amen. Now, if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where the structure of the kingdom of darkness was identified, say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, that's a structure, the structure of the kingdom of darkness. And functionaries that administer the devil's will in varying levels of authority and stature were captured within that structure. Are you here? You see, the devil is not an original personality. He's a copy. Everything he has in his kingdom is what he has perceived to be functional in the kingdom of God. The idea of the average Christian about the devil is that he's a worldly fellow. He's a reggae rag. You know? But that is not true. The devil was actually called a name that no other angelic functionary was ever called in the entire scripture. He was called the guardian cherub. He was also called the anointed cherub. Because of the anointing that he had, he was able to peep into some of the secrets of God, such that he understands the measures and the dimensions of the throne of God. The implication of that is the devil can almost imitate anything that God does. Almost. You may not believe me. We are going somewhere. You see, we need to leave the ground. You are still in Otupo. We are still here. But we need to leave here to somewhere. Then we can talk from that plane and your spirit will receive it. And it will still be seeking to find expression in 5 years' time, in 7 years' time. You see, a spiritual thing is not a natural thing. You cannot contact a spiritual thing because you heard words. Because in the spirit realm, there is no language. In the spirit realm, the communication mode is by spirit. And that's why Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? It's not in a dumber language. The movements of God, the mind of God is captured within the move of his spirit. It's through the operation of discernment of spirit that you can understand what God is saying in a particular move of his. Are you with me? Now, you see, I know this congregation, we are Bible people, and that's why I don't want to talk from the ground. God's technology has gone beyond what some churches are building. In fact, if you even witchcraft too advances, the way they operate witchcraft now is different from the way it used to happen those days in River Okokoro. That regime has ended. There's a new technology that has been brought into it. And just like the kingdom of darkness is advancing, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence. It's advancing forcefully. And so if you are not in a vital link with God, you might actually be the 1982 model of yourself in 2013. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Are you with me? The devil is not original. He's a copy. Sorry, I may offend you as we go along, but it is for good. Now, we have a prophet in Lagos, and this prophet in Lagos was never discipled by anybody. He just became a senior prophet all of a sudden. His spiritual roots cannot be traced. He knows how to give some words, and so many people gather themselves onto him. I know people from Otukpo too. They normally go on to him. You know the person I'm talking about? Okay, it's that one. It's that one. Now, you see, are you still with me? Now, the guy talks just like we do, you know. He talks and he flows around. And a lot of people cannot differentiate between him and a true prophet that is called by God. Because the devil can actually counterfeit anything that God does to a very good level of accuracy, actually, such that if you are viewing it from human eyes, you may not be able to decipher and differentiate its context. So the devil actually is not a reggae rag, as you think. He's a church ball, because of his depth of understanding of the dimensions of heaven. So he can mimic prophecy. In fact, the relative of prophecy from the occultic dimension is called soothsaying. And if we check the content and context of soothsaying, you cannot doctrinally decipher what is prophecy and what is soothsaying, because they are the same by utterance and content. Now, you see, this day we'll have to go beyond some of those levels so that we can tap into the original witness, and there we can establish the kingdom of God in our day and time with respect to God's current revelation position. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, in order for us to advance in our study, I just took some time to study a few things which I believe will help me to say what God has put on my heart. But you need to understand that what God has put on my heart is not words. It's a deposit of His Spirit that came to trigger a consciousness. I am trying to look for scriptures. You know, the message and the passage is different. The Lord will help us. In Genesis chapter, I want us to look at some scriptures where there were interferences from the divine realm. Alright? We are just trying to find out interferences from what? From the divine realm. Then we'll try to analyze those interferences. Then you are going to see a strange pattern. We want to unleash divine potentials. You will need to be intelligent spiritual entities to actually unleash the dimensions of God, as God will have us do in this day, where the knowledge of, because of the number of fakes, do you know how many of that kind of prophet in Lagos are around now? I have even discovered that there are many more of them in Otukpo than in Makurdi. So I hope you know, just opening the Bible and sharing now may not save the day. That prophet in Lagos can do everything, but he will never have the capacity to present a revelation of Jesus. Why? Because it's not part of the body of Christ. The revelation of Jesus is only captured within the context of the body of Christ. He can talk good. And you know, preaching today has been reduced to good talking. what they call it, pest motivation, nuggets and key holders and keys. Those are the people that actually ruined the truth about the mystery of our kingdom. Some few teachers that are in the forefront of business today, Christian business, have actually distorted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel will have to be restored. The integrity, the power and the potency of that gospel must be restored. And that's why God is raising people with apostolic and prophetic insight in this time, so that we can reach back into the original witness and then find out what the devil could not copy. Listen to me. Only people that understand the protocol of heaven actually know for certain what the movements of God are. There are a few people that God is raising quietly in this territory, because this fake movement, in the next 2 years it will see its end and its zenith.
Amen.
This fake movement I have seen, it won't survive the next 2 years.
Amen.
Now, so we need to act fast to bring the sons of God into a consciousness that will make them sustain the accurate mold and always reach out to the present revelation position of the Spirit. And so in the book of Genesis chapter 3, where I said you should read, some things I want us to capture. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. I think I'll commence the reading from verse 21. Now, at this point, the fall had set in. Adam had declared independence. And upon the declaration of independence, Adam was now a creature that will survive, and his development will be along the lines that will foster his journey away from God. Amen. Kai. Sorry, I am not allowed to break it down for you to understand if you are not understanding on this level. I'm not allowed to do that. There are some people that God somewhere, as we move in this conference, he has marked them in the closet before. Now, he has used this conference as a platform, because the deposit of what they were marked for, they will be brought into it. You see, spiritual deposits are actually economies. Powers that have the capacity to shape a man's life in a certain direction, irrespective of his context and his environment. So Elijah, a prophet like Elijah, could rise in the time of great spiritual departure when Jezebel was calling the shots. But a pure prophet like Elijah could still rise in that time. It was because he received a deposit that separated him onto a reality. Okay? Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothed them. And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." So he was given a portion that was miniature to that which God originally intended. He was given a portion that was not in the same stature with God's original intent. He was cast out from the habitat that was constructed in view of his potential and capacity. Are you with me? You are not with me. But for this night, I'm not allowed to make it simpler. Okay, let me try. Because my scripture is in verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which tormented every way to keep the way of the tree of life, just so that man will no longer will not be an eternally condemned entity. So he said, well, we'll have to trust you out of the Garden of Eden. And then when he was thrust out of the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that cherubims were kept to guard the way to what? The tree of life. Are you still with me? Please don't allow the children to distract you. You are here by yourself. In Jesus' name. Now, I would like us, you know, the scripture we started with is thy will be done well. As it is done well. I hope you know in heaven, before this time, there was no man. So, the functionaries of heaven were angels in their ranks and in their capacities and in their offices. Now, we are going to take a good look at angels that were dispatched to carry out various strategic assignments, and we will use that as a key to understand the protocol of heaven. Are you with me? We'll just take a look, and then we'll use that as our key to gain insight into the kind of functionaries that are in heaven that makes the will of God established. Because those kind of functionaries of necessity must be on earth if the same kind of impact will take place upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? Now, so now these guys were thrust out of the Garden of Eden. Now, Adam was given a choice before he decided to be independent. He was given a choice: either take the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If Adam had eaten of the tree of life, he would have been a creature that is permanently, totally submitted to the will of God. Secondly, he would not have had the powers to know good and evil. His discernment would have been hazy. His judgment would have been bleak. Because of that, he would be drawn to a point of utter submission to God. Because it is from God's functioning that he can derive the function of knowing what is good and what is evil. Just like now, you think because you have a brain and you went to Harvard, you believe you know what is good. But your perspective of what is good is short-lived. It's not consistent with God's perspective of good. You don't understand. You don't understand that that advantage of knowledge is actually an affinity towards darkness. We would have been better off if we were simple without that kind of knowledge and enlightenment. And because you have traveled out and you have sojourned, then you believe that you can use that your knowledge to pick a wife. Then you just find out that that knowledge was not sufficient. There was a different kind of knowledge that you were supposed to gain mastery in that would have helped you in those matters. And that kind of knowledge will be gotten in submission to the truly wise one. Do you understand that? You didn't get that. Well, instead of Adam to choose to be in subjection to God, he decided to be independent from God. You know, we call that tree the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but what it actually is the tree of death. Because death is not the situation of life, death is separation from God. And that tree ensured that Adam was perpetually separated from God. So that was where he declared his independence. I want to be all by myself. That kind of knowledge that you get from the world always tends to bring you to a point where you feel that you can actually survive in self-sufficiency. So it is a trap all by itself. It's a snare. Are you with me? Now, okay, now the man had rejected the tree of life and he had gone for the tree of death. But you see, the tree of life had resident in it some potential and powers. It had the ability to make immortal. It had the ability to make everlasting. Because that tree and its fruit were actually carriers and infusions of the very nature of God. And so if Adam had eaten of the tree of life, after eating of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, it would have been an eternally condemned entity. The possibility of change would not have existed. And so God had to do something that did not look like love. He did something that affected us, but it did not affect our destiny.
He thrust us out of the Garden of Eden. So that by no means will we reach out to that which will make us eternally damned. But when he thrust us out, the Bible revealed that he put some beings, protective beings. The Bible says he put cherubim on the way, on the passage to the tree of life. That's not all. He also put a sword. It's not as if the cherubims were holding the sword, though. The sword was independent of the cherubims. And the Bible said that the sword had the capacity to turn in every direction. So that it could block the way of what? Of the tree of life. I'm saying that we are using these heavenly functionaries to understand the shape and the structure of heaven. And the kind of functionaries that God must have on earth if his will be done the same way it is done in heaven. You get that? Now, so I want you to see that the sword was independent of the beam called cherubim that was kept there. Now, this, the Lord will help us. That cherubim was in the description of what we can call the guardian. Somebody say the guardian. Because it was kept to guard what? So if God had guidance in heaven for the administration of his purposes to be established therein, he must of necessity have guidance upon the face of the earth. Oh, you are not with me. Now, before you can unleash the potential of God upon you, first of all, you must know what type, what sort are you? What type are you? If you don't know your type, you will become like every other person in town. And what is reigning is what you will go for. At the risk of your uniqueness, at the risk of your divine function from the standpoint of God. You know, especially we young pastors, what is reigning is what we go for, you know, like that, so that it will not be said that we are failing. The guy needs to act up. He needs to be active. He needs to know what is, how the trends are moving. He must keep tabs with trends so that he will not be said to be failing, that he's in another activity now. After, you see, if you are like that, you are of the earth, you are empty. The tree of knowledge of good and evil has made you captive. And your true access route has been denied owing to lack of discernment. That's not your true nature. So in the heavens, we have angelic beings. The first category that we can identify here are the guardians. If any territory lacks earthly, human guardians, then you can be sure that you cannot preserve anything that is holy within that territory. You may not understand, but maybe as we advance, some clarity will come to you. That there are spiritual deposits of God in every territory. So you don't know that. You don't know. You say, okay, yeah, it sounds good. But you don't know the implication. Maybe it's tomorrow night we'll talk about that. Spiritual deposits in territories. So we have guardians. Just like that cherub was guarding the tree of life. We have guardians in various lands and various territories. Let's stretch further and understand the assignment and the function of a guardian. Then you will find out if there's a guardian in Otupo. In order for you to unleash the dimensions of God that you carry, you must know which type of spiritual personality you are. You see, angels are not confused about as to their identity, their roles, their ministry, their assignment. They know it so well. No overlapping, no crisscrossing. Because everyone understands his role and he functions from that standpoint. That's how God's will is executed in the heavens, in the spheres of the heavens, and that's how he expects us to operate in accuracy and precision, in full knowledge of our sort and our type and the level of spiritual resources that is available to us to administer those dimensions that God
has constructed in us. Let's take a parable. Matthew chapter 13. From now to the next 7 years, a new set of leaders inevitably will have to take the baton in the body of Christ to advance the purpose of God. Because our current set of leaders have reached the peak of that which God has called them to do. So anointed, because they grew through process, they grew through obedience and discipline, but they have reached, this is how far they have capacity to lead the people of God, to bring visionary leadership into the earth. See, it's a strategic moment. It's a time that the devil wants to exploit, because the devil knows that many people have been dancing to the tune that he himself kindled for many years. And he did that deliberately, because at the time of the SU revival, the church in Nigeria was a major threat to the kingdom of darkness. And the devil foresaw his potential and capacity, and foresaw also his strategic placement in prophecy. How that Nigeria was the firstborn of God in Africa, and that in the fulfillment of her corporate purpose, Africa also will be triggered into purpose. So the devil knows if he keeps Nigeria, the Nigerian church, a dwarf, Africa will remain a dwarf. If you have gone to minister in some of these African nations, you will come to realize that the average Nigerian, you are actually 10 times more than the average African. So you now discover there's a secret that God packaged in us, that prophecy has revealed. And the devil knows where to touch in order to keep Africa a slave. So he kindled the music by himself. And many of us have danced to it. Now, so guidance are few. People that still understand the rhythm of the music coming from the heavens are so few. And they are not popular. And it is God by himself that has kept them unpopular for this season. God by himself. You see, the purposes of God are fulfilled in seasons and timings. You cannot be so smart as to manifest before your time. Let me stop there. That one was for the elders. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24. Jesus said, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household that came and said unto him, Sir, oh my God, I've jumped. Jesus. Okay, well, let's read. I wanted us to do something. If we start from here, it will be difficult to capture it. I've jumped something. Hallelujah. I'm seeing it. My friend at the back is a long time. Let me stop there. God, I believe, will do a great thing through this land, the land of Otuko. Something will come out of it. So the servants of the household that came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest ye gather up the tares, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat unto my barn. Did you get that?
Now, this is the second parable that Jesus is giving in an array of parables.
Are you with me?
Now, the first parable was the parable of the sower. And if you have studied the parable of the sower very well, there were different kinds of grounds, which Jesus, in his explanation, revealed to us that those grounds were actually hearts, and that the seed was the message of the kingdom. So Jesus kept sowing the message of the kingdom. Now the message of the kingdom reveals our original perspective from creation. Because when God created us, what Adam lost in Eden was not his boss. So the revival message cannot be prosperity, because it was not his boss that was lost in Eden. So we cannot say we are restoring something and then say, okay, prosperity now. No, you are out of context. It was not his boss he lost. It was the kingdom that God was offering him. And it was the kingdom that he lost. He was no longer part of God's kingdom. And it happens to be that God's kingdom is responsible for this existence. So any reality that is disconnected from that kingdom does not exist as long as existence is concerned. So he can sustain a mode of manifestation. He can sustain a mode of expression. But it's actually that expression, altogether by God's definition, is death, because it doesn't strike any chord from the realms from whence he had come. Together. Now, so God was offering kingdom unto Adam. That Adam will have the capacity through his potentials to discern God's intention in the third heavens and to implement it upon the face of the earth. That was his high calling. Are you with me? I don't have time to dabble, to digress, to go to the book of John chapter 3. When Jesus explained to Nicodemus the implication of being born again, he said, when you get born again, what will happen to you? You have the capacity to see the kingdom. The word there, see, there is perceived. You'll be able to perceive the activities going on in the third heavens. And then, so that you can understand, that perception can deepen enough for you to know how things are done from that standpoint, in order for you to be able to implement the same here. So when we say that Adam fell, what we mean is that there was a vital disconnect from the third heavens and his spiritual senses that would have mirrored the dimensions of God's movement in order to implement those dimensions here became dead. So any existence he sustains outside of the enlightenment of his spiritual senses was an existence that God calls death, because it doesn't strike any chord in the realm from whence Adam came from. Because Adam first existed as a seed of eternity before he came into time. Now, it's possible for us to formulate doctrines that are time-based. And that activity, we can have great followership, great many people gather, and those people are not going anywhere actually. Because as long as they are not brought into conformity with the original chord that was struck in creation, they are beings of time and they are beings of vanity. As time rolls by, the fact that they missed the mark will become more and more obvious. It's only when you step on that which is eternal that time doesn't make it relevant. Just like the sun. The fact that it's old doesn't make it irrelevant. It sustains a burning that even you will notice. This thing hot today. Find out how old is it? If you are still here, say amen. So the sower went out to sow. So we see that the seed is the message of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. That message of the kingdom is that word, that understanding that can restore us back to our original mode of oppression. Because it was a kingdom that God was offering us in Eden before man fell. You get that? And that's why the end of the age coincides with when the gospel of the kingdom will cover the earth. I know you are not with me. I know you are not here. When humanity will embrace that which God was offering from the beginning, It's a sign of the fact that this civilization is about to come to an end. Because that which God wanted to achieve by having man function from that heightened position will find expression upon the face of the earth. And the Bible reveals that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is to say that the atmosphere of heaven one day somehow will find expression upon the face of the earth, and what is capable in heaven will be possible upon the face of the earth by nameless, faceless people that know how to unleash the dimensions of God. Did you get it to that point? Okay. In the parable of the sower, God is looking for the right heart to receive the message of the kingdom. Because the seed had inherent potential in it. And if it finds the right heart, it's going to germinate. Now, see, what you actually did to become who you are was that you just yielded to Jesus. That's all. There's no great preacher anywhere. There are just men that yielded to Jesus. And the seed of the kingdom, which is Christ himself, when it takes root on your inside, and because you are yielded to him, in order to allow his kingdom permeate your soul, and for him to furnish his culture into your life, so that his culture will become your character. That's cultivation. That's agriculture. Are you with me? You get that? Now, so the only set of people are in the parable of the sower that became God's product were the people whose hearts were open to the message of the kingdom. You see, the thing about the message of the kingdom that makes it difficult is this. See, the fall imparted into us an inherent nature of rebellion. You did not get that. It imparted what? An inherent nature of rebellion away from the government of God. And the message of the kingdom is preaching to us how that we need to come into alignment, and we need to come under the authority of God. We need to allow his principles, become our value system, so that we can be an expression of his philosophy. Now, in the message of the kingdom, we are enjoined to yield to the government of God, which is the original call that man had in Eden, actually. But because of our partaking of the tree of death, we have an inherent nature now. Development in our lives is along the lines of rebellion against God. So it's not something that is sellable. It's not a message that can become popular. It's a message that only few will accept to its full extent. Did you get that one? So it so happened that those guys with good hearts that received the word of the kingdom that allowed it to grow, they actually grew in different proportions. They grew 60-fold, 30-fold, and what? 100-fold. In the parable of the wheat and tares, those products, the products from the parable of the sower. Are you with me? You didn't get it. You know, Jesus said that the parable of the sower was the foundation of understanding all parables. If we get to understand the parable of the sower, it will be easier for us to understand all the other parables in the scripture. Are you with me? Now, so we must take our bearing from the parable of the sower before we go into other parables, then we'll see how it applies. So, in the parable of the sower, the land is the heart. The seed is the message of the kingdom. And what God wants to culture are people, individuals, that have decided to accept the yoke of his government. That's his end point in the parable of the sower. But as you know, not everyone that the seed was thrown at actually received it. Only a few people. In fact, only the guys that understood the message of the kingdom and accepted it from the standpoint of what they understood it to be, actually prospered. The message prospered in them, and they became God's product, human beings that were preaching from the kingdom of the heavens. Now, you see, in the entire Bible, are you with me? Kai, I don't know how much we can take this night. In the entire Bible, only Matthew uses a phrase that only him uses in the entire Bible. the kingdom of the heavens. Only Matthew uses that phrase all through the entire Bible. So you might think that what Matthew means by the kingdom of the heavens is the same thing that John means by the kingdom of God. Then you have caused a blunder. I need to explain to us very critically before we go further. Are you with me? The kingdom of the heavens. And in Matthew, that heaven, in the way it is rendered in the Greek, is plural. I don't have a board. I would have shown you how it is written in Greek, and then I would have pronounced it in Greek. Then I will show you that is that word is plural. So it is this height is the kingdom of the heavens. You get it? Oh, you didn't get it. There's one scripture in the book of Psalms that explains what that means. That phrase means the kingdom of the heavens. You know, David said in the book of Psalm 16, he said, the heavens, even the heavens, belong to God. So when he said the heavens, even, so he was not just talking about the atmospheric heavens where principalities and powers dwell. He was talking about the third heavens from whence God's government issues. You get that? So when Matthew spoke about the kingdom of the heavens, he was talking about men upon the face of the earth that were aligned to the government that was coming from the third heavens. That's what he means by that. Oh my God. Are you with me? You see, we are going far. We need to pick the tools. We need to pick the tools so that we can arrive at our destination. Because the church in our time, and what ministry is to give people crutches. So that he's crippled all through his lifetime, never having the ability to mount up with wings. That day is over. That time of fraudsters that gave men crutches, they are over. If only you know the capacity of wings that you have, you will not like being carried on the back to fly. One day, the joy of exercising it is better than anything that is supplementary. Hallelujah. Now, so what Matthew meant by that was people that have accepted the government of God issuing from the third heavens. And many of you are here, as I can see in the spirit. You don't even have a clue. Listen to me. Listen to me. We are doing what we are doing because there is a great darkness that is coming into this land. You are not seeing it yet. There is a great darkness that is coming into this land. And that's why we need to do what we are doing. So that the goat and the sheep will be separated quickly. The great divide must be established. Now, in the book of John chapter 3, you know, John said, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That expression is actually different from what Matthew is talking about. I'll show you. Jesus' scope of the kingdom of God in that scripture reveals a sphere of life. Except a man be born, just like you were born naturally, to receive human life. There is a bet that you must be born into spiritually to receive divine life. And one of the proofs that you are functioning in divine life is that your spiritual senses are activated so that you can see the activities that are taking place in the kingdom of God. Do you get that? Now, see, it is one thing for you to see the activities taking place in the kingdom of God. It's another thing for you to accept to be aligned with those activities. So, because we have a lot of believers in the body of Christ that are born again, as it were, they have entered into the sphere of life, but they have rejected being ruled from the third heavens. Oh, you are not with me. You are not here. I know. You see, we have deliberately crystallized a counterfeit Christian generation. Because the apostles knew what it meant those days for a man to be really born again. It was not a passionate appeal. No. That was why the Bible says that the guys that were added to the church were such as should be saved. They have heard the message. They understand it. Hey, they say, oh boy, if we join this, we don't collow. So they knew what it meant. So if those people that say those kind of things now join, it was by the power of an invisible spirit that they joined. Now, so what we preach now is just come, give your life to Christ, exist in the sphere of life. But when your spiritual senses begin to capture the demands of that kingdom for alignment, be very sure to cut that one off. Just like the children of Israel, they had received salvation in Egypt. When the blood of the lamb, the blood was placed upon their doorposts and their lintels, the angel of death came into the territory, did not identify them. According to the angel of death, every firstborn died. It's just that some died before he showed up. The firstborn of Israel died before he showed up. So he didn't need to go back there. But it was the substitutional lamb that died in their place. But in the realm of the spirit, it was logically calculated that they died. You get that? So that's where they were born again from. They were still in Egypt when they got born again. Now the journey was to journey out of Egypt. You get this story? It's a graphic picture. And they journeyed out of Egypt. And in order for them to be separated from Egypt, they had to go through water baptism. Now, a man that says he really wants to be delivered from the enemy, that is not baptized, I don't understand the story. I'm confused about such a man. Because Egypt will follow you. Egypt will lay claim to you. The covenants you had in darkness will still look for your name. But there's something called... let me stop there. Now, after water baptism, see, it happens to be that not only Israel came for the baptism. Egypt also, they were baptized. But the thing about Israel is that Israel could resurrect from baptism, but Egypt could not resurrect. That was the proof that they had eternal life inside of them. Because eternal life was life indeed, even in the face of death. So when death came, Israel said, let's go for death test. And when they went for death test, because baptism is burial after you have died, only the people that had eternal life could resurrect. That was why Pharaoh and his guys remained under. They were still subject to the dominion of death. Tell your neighbor, I have no covenant with death. Listen to me, when a believer dies and when an unbeliever dies, it's not the same thing. It's angels that come to pick the believer because he doesn't have any covenant with death. He doesn't die by the hand of that spirit called death. Oh, you don't understand the difference. So for him, he sleeps. For the other one, he dies. I don't want to press further. I would have shown you his sleeping. The condition of his sleeping. How that existence is. How that sphere is. Because it's a kingdom that is driven by the power and the strength of a throne that is in the third heavens. Do you get that now? Now so it is, there's something different from the fact that you are born again doesn't mean you are operating from the kingdom of heaven. In order for you to operate from the kingdom of heaven, through the divine life, your senses being activated, you have seen what God is demanding from that realm. Because as you begin to walk with God, begin to pray and fast, God will now say, bro, that your girlfriend, you go leave her. Hey! Why? Because the government of God is orchestrating the purpose of God in your life. Something that is not possible outside of Christ. The throne, the ultimate throne that manipulates everything according to the counsel of God's will has become effective in your own existence. And now he's trying to manipulate your life according to that which was written concerning you. And this one was not written. This damn cell you are carrying was not what? Written. So because of that, in keeping with what was written, you may need to... Now, you know at that point, a demand is based on your will. Oh, you are not with me. To make a choice. So, see, entry into the kingdom of God is by regeneration. But entry into the kingdom of heaven is by choice to serve the will of God. Do you understand that? Tell your neighbor, the ultimate point is choice. After the sovereign one that came by grace, that's why there's judgment in the kingdom. Don't you think so? Because on the strength of choices, we are different. Meanwhile, I went through all this trouble to explain a few things that I need to highlight in the first category of people that God has. Did you get that? Oh, you didn't get that? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes we need coffee. Just, and then we'll go 7 hours. Then we'll take coffee. So if you are going, you just revive. The services the apostles have in scripture were extraordinarily long. Ananias even came late. About 3 hours late, the service was on. He died. The wife came 3 hours later. It was still on. Those people were not doing services. They were actually managing the move of God in eternity. If you calculate very well, their service cannot be less than 7 hours. They were managing the move of God in the city. And so I don't need to go into that. The kind of things they did. These are cosmetic, plastic, borrowed ministry from the United States is fake. Let's pipe into. See, God is accessible. We can find Him. It's our destiny as the black continent to take God back. Because on the issues of the kingdom of heaven, our brothers, many of them, have actually dodged this aspect that I'm raising. And so an aberration is created. Something that doesn't befit that glory of God. And so God cannot uncover His holy things from His tabernacle. They are withholding. Do you get it to that point? So you will see that there is no call for giving your life to Christ in the book of Matthew. You will never see that. But there's such a call in John. That's where you start. But after you have started, you should end up in Matthew. And I can show you 9 characteristics of men and women operating from the kingdom of heaven. They are there in the book of Matthew. But that's not my emphasis. I'm just showing you the parable of the sower. God wants to harvest kingdom people in the parable of the sower. Do you get that? You understand that? That's what He wants to harvest. Now, in the parable of the wheat and tares, those kingdom people that He has harvested, He plants them in territories. You are not with me. He took our pastor, planted him in Benue State Health Management Board. Those people that he has succeeded in or succeeded on in cultivating the kingdom, and it has become their culture and custom, their most natural state of existence, is to respond to the will of God. Those kind of people. Then He takes them and plants them on platforms. Platforms in this world. Take doctor, health management board. Then you now meet a system. A system that is not consistent with that heaven that you represent. A system that has sustained a culture that is different from that which your kingdom subscribes to. And then a warfare takes place between wheat and tares. You see, wheat and tares, they look alike. It's only harvest time that the difference comes. Whereas the wheat will be standing erect in harvest time, the tares will bend over. Yeah? You are not here? Oh, let me stop. They tested you with small money, you bent over. That's the nature of tares. That's why we can't take the land away from the devil. Because a lot of covenants in darkness have been contracted to gain mastery over territories. And people that will break that jinx, and people that they see the parable of the sower have prospered in their lives. People that have a fixed posture, you cannot make them adopt another culture. Because the seed that was sown in them matured. It came up to maturity. That's their nature. It's better if you eat. Oh my God. You can take away the coat of many colors. But there's something you can never take. So he cultures the people and he placed them on platforms. The wisdom or the dynamics of true apostolic reality is our ability to interface between podiums. Paul was a mighty teacher, a revealer of secrets, an unveiler of mysteries, but he could still make tents. Because he wanted to interface. You know, He never conducted any classroom discipleship for Aquila and Priscilla. He met them in the tent making market. That was where he discipled them. No discipleship class. In the market, there was an apostle there. As he was making tent, he was talking about mighty things of the kingdom of God. He was such a one that the parable of the sower prospered him. Anywhere you plant him, things happen. Things take place. Have you ever seen 10 million? If you have never seen it, I assure you, you don't know what you will do if you see it. Most of you are like this because you have not seen it. You have me on your time. Kai, don't boast. I don't want to go further. You know where I work, money flows not in Naira. Naira is too weak. So you carry too many. To carry 10 million, many Ghana must go. But they have found a way in dollars. $100 bills. In a Gymtex bag, you can take 10 million in Gymtex. In $100. Because of us, the United States of America changed the $100 bill. That is impossible. But because we have stolen so much money in liquid form, so they changed it. You know what? Okay, let me stop. You are maybe you have some too. That's why you are quiet. Kedo mala tela mosai. Small bag like this. $100 bills will make sense. That's how bribe traffics where I work. If you see fresh dollar bills in a zipped up bag, when they open it and you smell it, something can possess you. Something. You don't understand it. If you have not seen it, I assure you, you don't know what you would do. Hallelujah. Most of my colleagues say they won't work with me because when we go, the people we meet are not small boys. They don't even need to appear on the newspapers. They move things in this nation. People that you are bringing a vessel of petrol. 6 million liters. It's about 5 billion naira. So if you are talking on that level, you should have dollars. Not for God's sake. That's when you will see the tears. They are bent over. Because the parable of the sower did not prosper in his life. See, tell your neighbor, don't be fake. We have too many fake Christians, fake pastors, fake people. Just in church like that, wasting time. God will help you waste your time if you are fake. He will help you waste your time. The tears are what? They are bent over. And you cannot differentiate them until harvest time. So the fact God will allow the tears, not because it is not there, because it's difficult to know. So it's better for him to be allowed till harvest time. So sometimes some churches can be allowed. You don't understand? The business goes on. Fake prophecies and all those kind of things go and consult shrine and come and talk and come with suit that they have jinxed with charm and you throw it. Then, because Otupo is small, before evening, the news will spread around that he threw suit. And people that are not deep in God will be going from pillar to post instead of them to find their bearing. I know a lot of you have been victims. The way I'm seeing them laugh on the corner of their mouth, they have been to places. They have been around. So now we can understand the parable of the wheat and tares. Let me raise some points quickly. Maybe understanding will be granted. Now, in this parable, you will notice a few things. I want us to read something quickly. Matthew 13, turn quickly. We don't have, no time. Jesus. All right, so we can't even finish one point this night. Oh my God. All right, let's run. Let's go to verse 34. Hear the words of Jesus. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, what I want you to underline there, if your Bible is not borrowed, is secret. Secret. It means that locked in these parables are secrets that were kept concealed since the foundation of the world. And until we understand and break into those codes, there are many things about the operation of the kingdom of God that we may never find out. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus is an object teacher. He gives a parable. Then he comes home to his apostles and he spreads it out. He said, this is the meaning. This one is this. This one is that. Let's see his attempt. Hallelujah. Let's check the interpretation. The interpretation is from verse 36, I guess. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So the guys that the parable of the sower had prospered in, Jesus is going to take to territories. You will see that now. The field is the world. Platforms. The Nigerian Navy. The Nigerian police. The guys that... Jesus doesn't have any problem with the platform. His problem is, did my seed, did it survive? Did the kingdom seed prosper in his heart? If that seed prosper, it doesn't matter how the platform is. God has a witness on that platform. And as far as that, you will see the impact and effect of having a witness, of God having a witness on that platform. The testimony of his kingdom will be beaming forth. The value system of his realm will be finding expression. And you see, when real kingdom issues find expression, that guy that is a light in the midst of darkness doesn't need to preach any salvation message. Just live your life. He lives his life, and the simplicity and the purity of his life is enough message. And it keeps going on like that. Many people will be attracted to know your God because of your life. If nobody has given his life to Christ because of your character, you are, the parable of the sower did not prosper in your life. If Nigeria will be free, men that parable had prospered in their lives must have to be set on strategic platforms. You know, it's very difficult making business for you to do ministry and do. Very difficult. You need to be very disciplined to very disciplined. And you will live a narrow life from your office, home. You can't even stroll because you are engaged. You are engaged. You can't even answer your phone calls. You are great, a huge responsibility. But we need to do it because people will not give for true kingdom work. See, it's not celebrated. You don't understand this. If you are here, you are pastoring an accurate church and you are wondering, why are the funds not coming? Wait. I assure you, let me give you wisdom. Look for something I'll be doing and join it. It will take time. Kamale Loba Kaseya. That tongue I spoke is deep. You came from an experience. That tongue. It will take. But if you want to be a fraudster, you will get the money quickly. You see, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is a rightness. There is a righteousness that we need to seek as we seek the kingdom. To be right with his position, with his philosophy. We seek to be right. As you enter into politics, you must seek to understand the rightness within that sphere. Don't run away from politics. But we must seek the rightness. And just in case a decision will compromise your rightness, forget that thing. A day will come when you will be called to sit on a seat without compromising your rightness. That is your day. You understand that? Good. So, Let me push further. So in these parables, there are secrets. Now, as Jesus sets out to interpret the parable, he goes a great deal. He goes a great length in the interpretation. Then he refuses to interpret some other factors. That's what I found out. Now, okay. He that soweth good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So the ones that the parable of the sower prospered in, that have become God's men, God's kingdom people, the field is the world. He puts you on any platform, so that you can express the value system of that kingdom. It is contagious. And if there is anything that Nigeria is not having in good supply, are men that are such kingdom people that express the value system of heaven. And if we see, it's easy to say, let us go for an election. But we have known that elections are not actually exactly proportional to change and development. Because the people we are electing are actually not people that are credible. And we don't have many credible people. Because the message of the kingdom is no longer prospering. We have substitute for it, which has generated this confusion and this quagmire. But in the midst of the mess, God has a message locked in the hearts of men that he intends to showcase in a short while. Amen. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 39, the enemy that sold them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. Now, if you check, Jesus actually gave interpretation to every metaphor that was used in the parable except two metaphors. The first metaphor that Jesus was silent about was men. Second metaphor that Jesus was silent about was the servants. Alright? He has exposed what everything is, what the field is, what the seed is, the children of the kingdom, the children of the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are angels. He did all of that, you know, revelation, but he did not show us who the men that slept were. He also did not show us who the servants that came to the master and said, did you not sow good seed? Meanwhile, the Bible says that these parables are compendiums of secrets that have been kept hidden since the foundations of the world. And if we are going to understand that those secrets and function, we are talking about unleashing divine potential. There are several secrets that we need to find out, unveil, in order for us to unleash. And as long as those secrets are kept from us, we do not have access to the technology that they bring. So who are the men? I said that those cherubims that were kept to guide the tree of life, they were guardians. That's their assignment. They are what? Guardians. And it happens to be that those men spoken about in this parable, they are guardians. You see, that will be done where? On earth. As it is done what? In heaven. So anything that goes in heaven must actually go on earth before God's will can be established. So if they are guardians in heaven, they must of necessity be guardians on earth. And you cannot unleash potentials on your life until you know the kind, your spiritual kind, your spiritual tribe. Where is your tent? There are things like that. I don't intend to go too deep, but the first category of people we need to investigate are the guidance. And if we do not have guidance in the territory, the enemies will come and sow other stuff, and then we'll begin a different line of warfare will be generated that is inconsistent with the intention of the one that did the planting in the first place. So if all these false kind of preachers were able to find foot In otupo, it means that the guidance are few. Well, what?
Hallelujah. Hey, the battery of my Bible is going. Amen. We have a long way to go. While men slept, an enemy came. Sometimes we sit and read the dailies and we hear Boko Haram. While men slept, Boko Haram came. Didn't exist before. Could not exist, could not permeate and penetrate. But it came to pass at a certain time where some men slept. Not angels, but what? Men. And these ones are guardians, such that if they are awake, their merely being awake keeps out the enemy. And for every territory, there are those assigned as guardians. For every office, there are guardians. Every platform, they are guardians. But while the guardians sleep, a different stream and string of warfare finds expression. Energy is expended wrongfully and inconsistent with the original purpose of the planter. Just because some guardians go to sleep. Now, I'm going to show you some characteristics of guardians. Just in case you are one. Leave this night and locate your mat. That mat you abandoned that has strengthened the enemy over the territory. Strengthen darkness over the territory. In order for us to seize the day, the guidance must away. Now we have a long list of types that we are going to look at. Guidance are the first. And I need to show you the technology of a guidance. And in fact, we need to weep and cry if we are short of guidance. Because the inevitable will find expression. Now, these guys, in order for them to be guardians, there's a peculiar kind of anointing that operates in their lives. Is it only in that the activity as guardians that they can unleash those dimensions of anointing? A guardian might now feel that, oh, Jesus, there's not so many people coming to church, and he's bothered about the numbers. So much so that he forgets about his function. He forgets his territorial function. And then he joins the rat race. Joins the rat race of printing posters and every all kinds of activity here and there. Oh, Pastor Dan. Oh, let me see. Will it work? Yes, I think it will work.
Please, Pastor Dan, check that. Listen to me. The rat race is so hot now. That ministers in Otupo, in Makurdi, in Gboko need to travel to Lagos to see the trend. They need to travel early to see the trend so that they can import it. You don't understand? The current dress code of the hitmen. The way they raise money. You know, the hitmen, they evolve their money raising skills. It goes through evolution every week. Because Sunday is market day. Jesus. You don't understand it. You don't understand it. Why men slept? Those things come. So you get confused. Some of us, our ministry is not based on number. Let me tell you now. That mega church you are expecting is not part of the template written in your name. That one that the whole city will gather may not be your own purpose. But you see, you have neglected what is operating and manifesting mightily in your life. Paul said, when they saw that the grace of God was operating in us mightily to the Gentiles, as he operated in Peter mightily to the Jews, they gave us what? A right hand of envy. No, they have identified our line of grace. That they will be doing us and heaven great disservice to make us wrong with them to the Jews, when the burden, our wiring, our deposit is to the Gentiles. They saw a difference and they knew there was no way to classify us. We are different. They gave us the right hand of fellowship, so that every man command the ground that he was anointed to conquer. There are many different kinds of anointings that will interface in order for this land to be yanked out of the hands of the devil. See. Not every one of us, we have the largest church in Otukpo. It may not be part of your template. For people that God has given that grace, that one will happen to them naturally. So you must know your type, so that you will not be envious of somebody else that is of another type. Oh my. Everybody wants to be the preacher of the mega church. Meanwhile, there is this assignment of foundational apostles and prophets to set things in order. Things that have departed away from alignment. Some guys are gifted. Well, we'll look at that. Meanwhile, that one is not a popular kind of ministry. It's a relevant ministry, but it's not popular. Oh. Now, most of us are... You need to find out, why are you in the ministry? Ask yourself. Say, wait, bros. Why am I here? You want to be popular? It will take a long time. Why not print a poster and join APC? You'll be far more popular on those platforms. You know that. See, please, yo, God will help us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why men slept? An enemy came. So we have guidance. Guardians have a unique kind of grace. There are several things that guardians should not do because of the power that is inherent in them. They wield that power. That power is a complement of heaven, granted to them to function within the scope of their assignment. If there are some things that they do because of the power, they need to wield it with understanding. The size of your church, numerical strength, is not a measure of your spiritual stature. So don't get into the rat race and forget your place. Just keep releasing the golden oil. Close your eyes to what is happening around. Run away from comparison, because the Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves are not worthy. Be humble enough to accept your own assignment and be busy doing it. And let me tell you the truth, if you are a true kingdom man, it will be difficult for money to come. Hey! Mama late ko samalate. The money will come only the season when God has ordained it. You can't, your desperation will not change it. It was written before you were born. And that's why it's advisable, learn how to make a tent. Because the days of redemption have been prolonged. Learn how to make a tent. So that you can be content in that with wherewith you find yourself. And you can love God from that standpoint. You must know how to maintain and to survive. So that your heart will not be in surviving, your heart will be on God. Put a plan in place for survival. That's why some of us have certificate. Dust it. Just in case Baba did not tell you, you are on full time. Dust it. Put your skills to work. In putting your skills to work, you are going to interface with many more people that your pulpit cannot give you access to. I say the wisdom of the apostolic is that he has the capacity to what? To interface. The most anointed of us must have to stay on some of these government platforms. I hope you know the country is going to move. And those platforms must be cleansed and they must speak Christ. That can only happen if God has his men there. All of us are running into the field of mission. We don't know it to be funded. Hallelujah. So many people are doing, then it is wise. That one, I say that one, I digress to say that it is wise. This is not the time for that. The time will come when the floodgates will be open, the two leaf gates will be open to us. At that time, it will be criminal for you to still hold on to. Okay. I am speaking to somebody. I am speaking to somebody here. The Lord will. Baba himself will appear and say, see, I've opened the gate. So you don't need to labor any. Come. Be my mouthpiece. What I've put in you, if people see you, they'll be disposed to my kingdom. So I need you to be everywhere so that you can be seen. The endowments that God places on guidance. And it happens to be that if guidance go to sleep, that's when the devil is empowered. The rise and the fall of Satan in a territory is tied to whether the guidance sleep or whether the guidance rise. Well, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Hallelujah. So, I wrote on my script here, I say, guidance, watch over cities, lands, grounds, promises, divine decrees, and sacred things in the spirit. Now, you might say, why, oh preacher, why do you say that guidance watch over promises? You will find out that Daniel said, I understood by the books, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah, that our captivity by prophecy was captured to be 70 years. You understand? So a guardian must have at his fingertips the prophecies concerning the region in which he finds himself. He watches over it. When shall these things be? What shall be the time of thy coming and of the end of the age? Those are the words that guidance. When shall it be? An event takes place. The way the guardian interprets it is different. You don't understand. He's watching over something. There are some people that God deliberately pushes into some offices, not because they are qualified for it, not because they are the one, but some corridors need to be watched if God can pass through the gate. Well, the Lord will help us. Now, let's check Ezekiel chapter 33. Then we can draw some technology in the ways of guidance. The ways of guidance. The ways of the guidance. Hallelujah. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from them, from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. I don't want to go further. But there are two things about watchmen here. There are watchmen some watchmen can be appointed by men. If you check the first, and then there are some watchmen that are appointed by God. I don't want to go into that. Because as a pastor now, doctor can come and say, bro, you are going to be in charge of the prayer team. He was appointed. Whether you were appointed or whether God set you within the territory, hallelujah, you carry the honors of a watchman. So I'm just saying that so that you know that you can be appointed into it. It affects you by appointment too. But see, apart from the appointed people, there are people that God has set in territories as watchmen. These people that God has set in territories as watchmen are strategic people. Very strategic people. In fact, some of them, there is no form of witchcraft within that territory that can kill them because of the things that they carry. They are actually one of the pillars that must be represented in that land for that land to exist. Oh, you don't believe me. Now, you see, when Saul died, David sang a song. He called it the Song of the Bow. And he recommended by decree, by royal decree, that the Song of the Bow should be incorporated into primary school curriculum. That every student that goes to school in Israel must learn to sing the Song of the Bow. What was the content of that song? How? At a mighty form. How? At the weapons of war perish. And in the lamentations of the song, so many things were captured. Do you see that in that song, there was a curse? David cursed the mountains of Gilboa. Now, I hope you know, as a Bible student, that the curse, curseless, shall not come. If I lay a curse that is costless, such a curse will not come. And for those of you that have been privileged to go to Israel, the mountains of Gilboa are bad till today. So on what account was David's curse for the Mount of Gilboa accepted by the righteous judge? I know you didn't think of it. Please help me think. I know you have not considered it. Yeah, okay. Do you know that the mountains were supposed to fight for Saul not to die? That was why it cost them. You don't know that the guardian of the territory deserves the service of any living or non-living thing for preservation. I will stop there for now. There are some people that cannot die. Tell your neighbor, some people cannot die. You hear that a pastor died of charm. They charmed him. He became crippled. It's not everyone that can die like that. He became crippled. One leg. Jesus. Guardians can't die. What they are carrying. Oh, Jesus. Akale dodo kasaila. See, as we are going in this meeting, we'll come to a point. The raft, the vista, will be removed. Guardians cannot die. Say they put charm for a pastor. Then he became. What's he doing there? He's an impostor. His name is not in the role. His name is not there. Because there are men that God set. Do you know how long it took? Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. He was separated from the studio of God. He said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee as a prophet to the nations. It was a meticulous work that went together in order for that man to be born. And God forgot him. While he was born, he was forgotten. He was still operating like his father as a priest. And one day he was supposed to burn incense and to offer sacrifice. Instead of burning it, he began to prophesy. That he was not supposed to talk. That was why he was they cast him out. That guy, you have violated the order. But he tried to sort up. So his prophetic ministry started with controversy. until a day came when God now told him, you know why you are troubled? Why there's persecution everywhere? He said, I have set thee as a prophet. He said, see, behold, a man can be called a prophet but never set one. Set as one. Because the day you are set as one, whereas you are a man of unclean lips, the day you are set, you will pay for that unclean lips. Whereas you like cursing people, see head, see belly. The day you are set, you'll be given instructions as to how to use your mouth. Because when you say those kind of things, they can become true. They can take effect. There is a grace that accompanies those dimensions of shapings, such that your beggarly charm you put on the ground is irrelevant to his makeup. If they can strike you with charm and it works, you are an impostor. You are fake. You are fake. Second thing about guidance is that they must have the ability to see into the spirit. The sword that was spoken about was not a physical sword. The powers of discernment must be a natural part of the guidance life. So he has a strong prophetic measure upon him, not because he is another that wants to call people's name and phone number. His own, the purpose of his deposit is so that while he watches, he will see the things that are coming through the gates. You don't understand it. Wait, let me explain to you. You see, when you receive the anointing of a guardian, you can actually look at people and know their phone number. Because of the measure of the prophetic nature that has been willed to you. You can look at them and know their name. And you can tell his elder brother's name. But the purpose for that anointing is not to tell phone number. The purpose is not to tell name. Because he knows his name for God's sake. Doesn't he know his name? So why do you need to tell him his name? That one is an overflow. That is just a proof that something is at work. It has that ability, but that's not the function. The function is for you to see the things coming through the gates. You have that discernment, that eye of the spirit, to view into the realm and see what is coming into the gates so that you can stand on your watch and warn. Who will warn us today when danger is coming? Who will speak to the clan that darkness is about to encroach? You see, people have left their duty posts and they are running the rat race. Because where they feel that where God has placed them is not popular. It's not pedestal for fame and gain. You must understand the way of the kingdom. Glory is not glamour. Somebody say, okay, when I go to the United States, that's when my ministry will start. You will be like Naomi. When people in the United States have discerned the drought in the land and they are looking for mentors in Africa now, you are running. You say your ministry will start when you get there. You will be like Naomi. She left the house of bread, a stack of bread, and she lost her breadwinner. Everything about bread dried up because she was displaced. She was not where she was supposed to be. Hallelujah. Amen. People are running. Why people are looking for voices in Africa to come under their covering? They say they don't want to function in the history of God. They want to know what God is doing now. Because as if God has closed his eyes to some quarters. We don't understand our time of recovery. So the guidance are not many. People that understand are not many in the land. So that's why he has the gift. He has the gift for a deeper territorial function, not just for calling for trivialities. Hallelujah. He's supposed to see the thing coming through the gates. The third point is this. A guardian must understand how to keep the watches. Must understand the technology of the watches of the day and the night. The most accurate prophecies Territorial prophecies are given by guidance. Now, when New Year is starting, for instance, and you really want to know the mind of God, and you have not heard God for yourself, it is better for you to tune to the voice of a guardian. He's the one that has the word of God for the territory. Now, you see, what makes your word never fall to the ground is because you understand the technology of the watches of the day and of the night. Your words will never fall to the ground. That's why, patriarchs like Emmanuel Kure, their words are as good as your liver. They are guardians. Now, let me show you something. Before I run away. So much time, and we have not finished. Okay, help us. Acts of the Apostles, turn your Bible. Now, somebody will read Acts 2:15, another one will read Acts 3:1, another one will read Acts 10:3, another one will read Acts 10:9. Who is helping us? Acts 2:15.
Acts chapter 2, verse 15. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is just the third hour of the day.
Now, you see, we have third hour. Okay, who is giving us the second reading? Acts 3:1. Who is helping us? Please, wait. You read into the microphone, all right? Now,
hey, you did not hear. The first reading we did was what? The third hour of the day.
I read in Jesus' name. Acts 3:1. One day, Peter and John went into the temple.
When did they go?
Went to the temple.
Okay, read on.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 3 o'clock.
That's the hour for prayer.
Alright, I'm not getting the times, okay? What is that?
Good news. Good news, Bible.
Good news. Okay, you are going to help us. You'll be our navigator. Since your own is easier to understand, go back to Acts 2:15.
Since it makes it clear, so you don't need my word anymore. Acts 2:15 starts from the Ruby and Navigation.
Amen.
Amen.
These people are not drunk.
Okay, that's Acts 2:15. They are not drunk. Okay?
As you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
Now, please, somebody write it down. 9 o'clock in the morning. Alright? The second scripture where you read is what? Acts chapter 3 verse 1. And that one speaks about what? 3 o'clock. Okay, you write 9 and then write 3 o'clock. Okay, go on. Sister, you are our navigator now. So turn to Acts chapter 10 verse 3. That's Cornelius' house. Cornelius' house. Okay? Acts chapter 10 verse 3, quickly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3 o'clock.
Now, Cornelius was trying to narrate his encounter with the angel that he saw. And he said it was about what?
3 yeah. O'clock.
Okay, go on. Acts chapter 10 verse 9.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The next day.
Okay.
As they were on their way and coming near Joppa,
mm-hmm.
Peter went up on the roof of the house.
He went up on the roof of the house to pray?
About noon.
When was that?
About 12 noon.
O'clock. Okay, now see. Sister, you have done what I want you to do. One is 3 o'clock, one is 9 o'clock, one is 12 noon. Now, I want to show you something critical. Every time. That is consistent in the entire book of the Acts of the Apostles. Every time that angels encountered people, it was during the hour of prayer. Without fail, one time. Two, my board would have been here. 12, 3, 6, 9. There are gates at those points. Either 12 noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock in the night, 12 o'clock in the night. Go and interview all the people that are part of witchcraft. They will tell you that their meeting begins by 12. Those things are... Let me not go far. I'll stop there. guidance, understand the technology of keeping the watches. I speak in parables. Okay, let me open up. You see, hallelujah. Now, because of the kind of job I do, to do the kind of job I do for the government very well, you must know a lot about a ship. Because the ship, that's where they put the product in and bring it to Nigeria. We go, meet it offshore, calculate the quantity of the product, ascertain it, stamp it, verify it, send our reports. Alright? Then the ship will start pumping into the tank. All these tank farms, you know, in Api. You get that? Now, if the ship is tilted this way, it will affect your reading because the product is liquid. If it's tilted this way, it will affect your reading. If it's like this, it will affect your reading. Is that not so? If it's like this and you don't know it's like this, and you calculate it, EFCC will come and catch you because 1 liter of the product. Okay, let's see. 33,000 liters. The real price is 142 naira. Help us, please, help us. 33,000, that's what fuels the normal tanker. Help me, Dan. 33,000 times 142. That's how much, in monetary terms, one tanker of petrol costs. Let's get it first. Don't worry. Don't be in a hurry. Okay. We are already touching 4 million. Now, meanwhile, the quantity of what you want to measure is 9 million liters. I hope you don't try. 3,000 is insignificant. And you can omit that because it is like this. And what you are touching, what your error is creating is a 4 million naira difference. That is worthy of EFCC visitation. You are not with me. Oh, the Lord will help us. If these vessels come and the vessel is sitting down on the ground, on the seabed, is sitting, what is the impact? It will push the product up. So what you are measuring is not real. Oh, you are not with me. I want to show us something first. It's not real, it's not existent. You are accounting for something that is not. Because by the time they pump it into the tank, that your additional volume that came because it is sitting and everything is projected will not appear in that tank. They will now call you and say, that difference of 246,000 liters, we are not seeing it in the tank. Did you sell it on board? Are you with me? So because of that, you must wait for the next tide to come that will push the ship up so that it will be water that is suspending it through up thrust before you now take your... Do you understand that? Now, you will now discover that the time tide came yesterday is not the time tide will come today. Oh, you don't understand. There is something called tidal chart. We use it to calculate the tide of each day. Whereas the tide came 7 p.m. yesterday, it will come 5 p.m. today. Okay, let me use a simpler one. The sun sets tomorrow. Check for 1 week. Check when the sun sets. Check it and mark it. You will find out that it doesn't set the same time. Any day in the year, it doesn't set the same time. Are you with me? All those tide itself, we have tide because the earth sustains two movements. It rotates, revolves around the sun, and it rotates around its axis. Those are the two movements that are responsible for all this kind of stuff. And well, in the course, we now discover that at a particular tide, when tide is high, people die more. But the lecturer cannot explain, cannot account for that anyway. But people die more at this time. People have miscarriage at this time. People are born more at that time. Let me tell you something. Those alignments actually reveal the times when the gates are open over your city. I don't want to go too deep. No. No. Most of you did not pray before you came. You just came and said, did it happen there? So you don't know where you have come actually. Hallelujah. There is a configuration, an alignment of the sun, moon and star that opens the portal of death. The people that dies in that orientation are more that year. Let me stop. There is a configuration that people that get mad are more. That's why a madman is called a lunatic. What is lunar? Moon. Let me stop there. Did you get that? If you understand the watches of the day and the night, you understand the interfacing of the spiritual and the natural realm very easily, and you'll be able to know when the sword comes to plunge the land. You didn't get it. I will stop there. Wise men have already heard me. Those points we saw, 12, 3, 6, 9, are critical moments. The witch goes for meeting by 12, must come back before 3 a.m. If the witch doesn't come back before 3 a.m., it has entered into another balance that is not in control of. Have you ever asked? Those days, our mothers used to tell us that they went to the water to the stream to fetch water, and they saw somebody suspended on the water. They said, no, the person violated the principle of timing, spiritual timing and alignment. So he missed the portal. So the person is standing, you think he's standing over your river. You are seeing through a prism. Your eyes are blind. You are blind in human sight. You can't see where the person is standing. If you are going to be a spiritual man, you must understand how to keep the watches. That's the guardian principle that men like Kuri understand, and their words never fall. It's just because we don't have time. I would have shown you a few things. Some of them you can verify it even by calculation. Are you with me? You are not with me. Since that day that Joshua took a day out of February, a year is 365 and one quarter days. There were supposed to be 366. The man took a day out of February by an act of faith. He created an imbalance. And he made it more difficult to discern when the gates are open. But I give you a clue. 12, 3, 6, 9. Elijah waited until the time of the evening oblation before he read up his altar. He waited for them and said, your God might have traveled. Try more. He was not wasting time. He was waiting for the intersection period. There was a time where, through this movement, there was going to be an interfacing of the earth, the spiritual and the natural. At that time, a portal is open. If he makes demands on heaven that time, literal fire can come out of heaven. I can show you in scripture. I will take you to the book of Exodus chapter 3. I will show you the angel of fire. That angel it was actually an angel that was allowed itself to be visible. That Moses thought it was fire burning that bush. I know you. Do you believe your Bible? Wait. It seems this thing has. Okay, help me. Exodus chapter 3. We don't have guidance anymore.
Exodus chapter 3. I may not know the verse, but verse 2. Alright? Please read.
Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire.
The angel. No, the Bible says it maketh his angel spirit and his ministers what? A flame of fire. So the angel appeared. Alright? What Moses was seeing was a flame, but it was an angel that appeared there. And that was why the bush was not born. There are times when the natural and the supernatural can intersect. Only men that keep the watches can understand those movements and know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. These are the technologies that are found among the guardians. I don't want to go more than that. God will help us. Now, meanwhile, I have to stop here today. Because if we start the custodians, that's the one I want to dwell on for long. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, many custodians that are not aware of their status will come here. So we'll take time to work on that. God bless you.